We're winging the intro this week. Yep, like Talker United, we're winging it. And like Talker United, it'll go horribly wrong. It's days like this. I don't know why we started a Talker United podcast, but the man sat to my left is the Martin Cool to my Gary Hours.
Yeah, I don't think fans are like that at the moment.
No. Got to the end bit of the intro music there. It's going to be a morose podcast today, I think. We've got two games to talk about, to review. We pushed the podcast back to the Wednesday so we could fit in the Tuesday night game. Don't know why we've done that now. But we'll just brush over the Dover game over the weekend. Ryan Bird scored the only goal of that game for Dover to boost their promotion hopes, so good on them. Clark playing in goal. Durrell was out injured. Kind of another story of our season kind of game. Gave as good as we got in the first half, but ultimately Dover's quality was a bit too much for us. But the main, I know you wanted to say something, that the main negative from this game was the red cards we picked up, wasn't it, for in terms of the coming up for the end of the season?
Yeah, it really set us up to fall on the Tuesday night game, really. And it's telling the impact that Elliot Romain has had since he's joined the club, that it was such a huge loss to not have him in the team on Tuesday night. To be honest, I don't think he can have any complaints about the red card. I thought, personally, seeing the replays, I thought it was a red.
Well, that's interesting, yeah, because a lot of fans were... I think some fans will disagree with you on that, in that they thought he was a kind of...
I think it's one of those. He's given the referee a decision to make there when he's gone in like that.
And Talky appealed the decision, but you always feel like when you appeal it, the committee that decides if there's any reason they can see why the referee did give it, they just side with the referee, and that's the way that's gone again, isn't it? Is there anything else you wanted to say on that, or should we move on to the more depressing game?
Yeah, let's move on. Get it done.
Okay, so Talker United briefly gave us a little bit of hope with Williams getting an early penalty in a game against AFC Fylde on Tuesday night. Ultimately, the game was lost 3-1. It's the real kicker, this game. The fat lady is singing, as they say. Hours had to shuffle the pack because of those red cards for Healy and Romain. He brought in Reed into the attack with O'Sullivan brought in from the cold, really, to play that creative role that Healy was doing. But just another... Again, I've said this throughout the season, that I haven't felt... Fans have criticised the players a lot for maybe a lack of effort on the pitch, and I've always stepped away from that a little bit. But from this game, it's the level of quality you can see that is the difference, and I maintain that it's not the level of effort. It's that AFC Fylde, like we're talking United, but AFC Fylde have got more quality in their ranks than us now, and that's what it looked like to me on Tuesday night. Anyway,
yeah, it's hard to find the words really to explain the situation at the moment. I think a lot of fans have seen that the writing has been on the wall for some time.
Yeah.
But last night, recording this on Wednesday morning, that was the game where it was all but sealed. And I think everyone's accepted it, but they've kind of not wanted to address it because it's unthinkable that the club of this size is going to be dropping into the sixth tier of English football. But last night, it kind of felt like the tide had turned, if that makes sense, and it was just, okay, it's done now.
Well, we've probably said for at least the last 6 weeks, me and you in the studio, that we're down. But that run of 10 points from a possible 12 just gives you that little chink of hope, doesn't it? But in the run-up to these two games, I said 4 points is what we need, at least. 3 we'd take from these two. And we've ended up with 0. But again, it seems ridiculous to say after we've been saying for weeks that we're already down. The season doesn't boil down to these two games. It's ridiculous to say that. But the point is that I don't even know how to explain what I'm trying to say. But we haven't managed to, even though we've given ourselves a little opportunity, we can't get anything over the line. I haven't made that clear at all, what I'm trying to say. But you can continue.
Well, I think you were trying to. It's kind of like a mini season in this end of this running that we've had, that where it's kind of just all or nothing.
Mm.
And it's the
10 points from 12. That's what I'm trying to get across. That we gave ourselves a little chink of hope there.
Yeah, and then I think we've just been undone, like you said before, by a lack of quality. Filed as an up and coming team like they are, that I know they're a much smaller club than Torquay United, but they've got just so much more quality, and that's what makes it kind of depressing at the moment, where you're seeing these clubs just overtake us, and ultimately the ones that are putting us down.
Mm. Well, what I find most frustrating from yesterday's game then is Jordan Tunnicliffe scored twice for Fylde. The first one, it's happened entirely too often this season. Simple set piece goal. I mean, he's the big centre half, but how is he heading in almost unchallenged from inside the box? Is that coaching? Is that concentration from the players? Is it the pressure of the situation? It's that schoolboy stuff in my book. With an unmarked centre-back from a corner heading in to put Fylde into the lead.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You can't have any complaints. Even at this level, it's like you say, it's schoolboy stuff. And
well, we already said that I think Fylde, they've got more quality than us, but let's not give them goals. That's what frustrates me as a fan.
Especially in this position that we're in, where every kick matters, essentially. You can't have any complaints at the end of the day. Like you said, these goals have been all too similar to still be conceding sloppy defensive goals at this stage of the season. You only have to wonder why we're in this position. I think there is an element of coaching in that. I think there's an element of concentration from the players and general quality. You know, I think they're proving at the moment why we are right down at the bottom of the league.
And of course, Tunnicliffe got his second later on, heading in from another cross. So, you know, stay tight to the big man is what you're taught at Sunday League football. But that defeat is, and we're going to come on to this later, because we're going to talk to some fans. Well, we've opened up a discussion on the Torquay United Facebook page to ask where this season went wrong. But we'll come to this later. But that was Torquay's 11th home defeat of the season. That we just haven't had the quality in front of our own fans at all, have we, throughout the season?
No, and if anything, we've been better on the road, as we've proved in recent weeks.
Well, even this recent run, yeah.
Which is unusual. It's usually the other way around. And
was the pressure of play more? Is it the dissenting voices makes it harder to perform there?
I don't know. There might be an element of that. And obviously, there's been a few postponements in along the way, so it's kind of delayed all sort of action at Playmore, where we've been away from the ground for a few weeks. I do think there's an element of that, but at this level, even at this level, fans and players should look forward to going to the home stadium. They should look forward to playing there. It's a bloody good stadium for this level. It's going to be a bloody good stadium for the National League South.
Well, yeah, if we're not turfed out, we'll move on to that later. But so all but done, I'm assuming, for you now in terms of survival hopes. You're not gonna give any fans anything to cling on to, are you?
No, I think, like I said, we've accepted it for a while, but last night felt like the tipping point for me. We go into a huge game on Saturday that we haven't quite worked out the maths, but there is chances that we can go down on Saturday. I believe
we think we're not too sure.
Yeah, I think
someone smarter than us can do the maths.
I think it'll all depend on other results elsewhere, so it's completely out of our hand now. And you've got to look at the Halifax game as one of, although we know what's going to happen, we are going to go down, it's going to be one of the biggest games in sort of the club's recent history.
Well, how depressing is that? We'll talk more about the Halifax game later, but now we opened up, as I said earlier, some discussion on the Torquay United Yellow Army Facebook page to discuss where fans think this season was lost. At what point did this all truly go down the pan? We've been overwhelmed with responses, so we can't go through them all, but we are going to go through a few opinions on this, and when all this went tits up is what I've written in the running order here. And I'll be passing over to Mr. Ryan Darby for this. What have fans been saying about where this season went wrong?
Yeah, a lot of responses
And divided as well.
Absolutely. There's a lot of factors that we've got to consider here. I'll rattle through some. A lot point to the point where Kevin Nicholson was sacked. Barnaby, he says, a poor managerial appointment. The names that were muted after Nico that were sacked were encouraging. However, that we ended up with a manager with no record of doing well in this league. He points out that Mark Yates, another one that was linked, is clearly doing a much better job now at Sully Hall.
Well, a lot of people spoke about that in that response to that thing on Facebook. The job Mark Yates is doing at Sully Hall with a team you'd assume has a smaller budget than ours, a smaller club in terms of stature, and he's had less time to turn it round, and he's given them every chance of surviving in this league at the time of recording. Yeah, they're 18th in the table, and you'd say they're favourites to stay up, looking at the teams around them as well. So, and that's what's most frustrating for fans as well, because Mark Yates was a man out. I think he was unemployed at the time when we were looking for a manager, and Jeff Harrop was in charge of appointing ours and decided it was worth paying compensation to get him from Bath. And that's what a lot of fans struggle to see the logic in, I think I'm right in saying that. The logic in paying money for a manager who has managed one season at this level moderately with Forest Green. Was he manager at Forest Green? He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Managed moderately at this level with Forest Green and was having a fairly good season with Bath and the National League South when we nicked him. A lot of fans struggle to see why you'd do that, as opposed to look at someone like Mark Yates, and I believe even Graham Wesley was linked with the job, although that may have been a bit pie in the sky. But those experienced campaigners were linked with it. What else have fans pointed to?
There's an interesting one for Mark. He looks way back to pre-season.
Pre-Nicholson sacking.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I agree on this or not, but he says, poor choice of pre-season fixtures, dreadfully unfit team, budget wasted on injury-prone players, and played off the park away at Gateshead and at home to Bournemouth. Excuse me. I do agree with some of that.
The pre-season fixture thing, I think
that's...
We always have the same pre-season fixtures. We play Buckland and we play Bobby Tracy and we get a championship team down.
You have your trial games and they're much of muchness. But to be honest,
we always do the same kind of pre-season. Yeah, but maybe he's right. Maybe there's a level of malaise in that, in playing the local teams around here and it not being worth much to the players in terms of fitness. Although Nicholson always spoke about how fit he was making the team. But that's something Ours disagreed with when he was appointed. He said they were an unfit team, which is one of the first thing managers tend to criticise when they come into a club. Mark points to pre-season as when you could tell it was all going wrong. Wasted budget on injury-prone players, interesting one. Liam Davis would be the main one you'd point to, but he's got that level of quality. You can see why Nicholson would have signed him.
Yeah, Mark's not wrong. A lot of transfers were poor. And we can say that
even
now
from
because...
Nicholson and Ours. We've criticised Ours for it, and we should criticise Nicholson for it as well. Some of his summer recruitment was wrong. I think you have to admit that.
Yeah, we can, because we've seen it, how it's unfolded, and we have every... We can see now that it's clearly not panned out the way he wanted. But, I mean, Liam Davis has been a great sign-in. I think he was injured, yes, but his quality has prevailed in the end. And then... It's other sign-ins like Ryan Clark, and I know he came into the side this week, but and John Paul Pittman, excuse me, who's just not been involved as much. And whatever it's down to, whether it's fitness, whether it's injury problems, he was a big sign-in from Nicholson's point of view, as was Ryan Clark, who was ousted by Durrell halfway through the season and has never really won his place back.
Well, linked to this, Steve Thomas said that he thought the problem was thinking that Reed, Keating and Pittman could be the people to score the goals, and they are the people that Nicholson selected, really, to be the men to score the goals. But then he says, and it's a double failing, well, a triple failing, because Nicholson picked the wrong men to think Keating, Reed and Pittman could score the goals to keep us in the league. Evidently, they can't. But then he says, replacing them with lone players who also couldn't score goals. And you only have to look back at the plethora of striking signings that Ours has made. Nabiyu, Murphy. I can't even remember all of them. I'm sure there are loads more, and you're not going to chime in with any. That's nice.
There's just been too many. It's like you said, the quality's not been there.
They're forgettable. I can't remember it. And then he says replacing them with players much too late, because and he's right, because now a lot of fans like Williams and Romain as a pairing, and Healy's undoubtedly way too good for our side anyway. It's just happened too late. Like Steve Thomas is right, I think. Nicholson got it wrong in terms of strikers over the summer. Hours got it wrong when he was appointed and trying to replace them. And it's just happened too late now. If we'd had this strike force all season, I think we'd still be struggling, I've got to admit. But we'd have a bit more of a shout. What else, you got something to say on that?
Yeah, I just think it's a bit of a vicious circle. And once you make one mistake, it kind of unravels from there. You look at the players that Kevin Nicholson brought in, he had a clear idea of what he wanted to do. It didn't work out. But then when it does go wrong, and Gary Ayres has got to come in halfway through a season and pick up the broken pieces, if you will, and he's kind of just filling round holes with square pegs. It's one of those.
And in fairness to Ayres, fans won't like the start of that sentence, but it's tough to recruit strikers mid-season, particularly at our level, isn't it?
It's incredibly difficult.
You'll only get out of form strikers. You will only get out of... No other team's going to let you have a striker that is scoring goals.
And the only way you can do that is you pay a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's just not an option at the moment.
Yeah, so a few people looking at pre-season there. But then I think it's important to note that... I think even Nicholson would admit he got some things wrong in the off-season. But fans still then say that... Yeah, we made some errors over the summer, but a lot more errors. We could have fixed it, and opportunity was missed. And then we could have fixed it again, and the opportunity was missed. And that's happened throughout the season, and that has been under Gary Ayres' tenure. But he was dealt a poor hand as well. We try and give both sides of it here at Talking. But he was dealt a... It was tough. Maybe I'm giving a bit too much leeway, but it's a tough...
The club was in a mess when he joined.
Yeah.
Let's not ignore the fact.
And part of the reason for that was the amount of time it took to appoint him, which was ridiculously long. I think, was it 6 matches, 2 points from Herrera? It's too much. That, for me, is what frustrates me the most. The length of time it took to appoint a replacement that no one was linking with the job.
And I think this is where Gary Ayres has struggled. He came into the club so late. And if you remember back to when Nicholson was sacked, the Mark Yates, the Mark Bignots of the world, they were all available at that time. If you remember, there was a period of about 2 weeks where 4 or 5 quite high-profile experienced managers were available for the job.
Yeah.
Being linked with, like you said, Graham Wesley and all these names. All right, some of it may have been pie in the sky, but I think there were quite a few raised expectations in that week, and then none of it came forward. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you end up with the Bath manager who's doing all right in National League South.
Who we've ended up paying money for.
That's where I think people come in with preconceived ideas about, he's not going to do it, we're going to go down. And he's kind of been fighting...
He's been firefighting since he's got here.
Exactly.
And that is partly down to the amount of time it took to appoint him, which isn't Ayres' fault. That falls at the general manager's door in my book. That was his job to appoint, and it's tough to see how you can justify the length of time it took to appoint Ayres. But we don't know what went on behind the scenes. Maybe there is something.
Can we move on to another comment?
Yeah, we both got angry there, but yeah, next one.
This one was quite popular from Ben. It's a big one, so strap yourselves in.
Okay.
Despite all our joking and doom and gloom, we still had a good chance of survival 6 weeks ago. We beat Maidenhead and Barrow back to back, and if we kept on winning, we'd be right in the mix, but we lost 3 games in a row, Dagenham, Sutton and Maidstone, which killed us dead and gave us too much to do. Rewind 2 years ago, and that was the sort of time that the wheels of the Great Escape 1 really started turning. Nico created a brilliant team spirit and siege mentality that brought players and fans together, which carried us forward. We never had that this year. Players appear to be working against the manager, not for him, and the fans have never been more disconnected from the club. Ultimately, Ayres has been disconnected...
Out of his depth.
Out of his depth since he got the job, and he's never been able to capitalise whenever we got a couple of decent results, which tells me that they've been the expectation and not the rule during...
Exception.
It's a very small writing.
Yeah, I know.
Not the rule during his tenure.
I've buggered you over in the running order there. I've laid that one up for you and you've fallen down the pit. That's nice. Ben Curry, that was from, and he's put that very well, I think, although Ryan couldn't read it very well. He's not...
It's going to be one of those podcasts.
Yeah, it is. We're both annoyed, so that's happening. He's written it very well. This links back to my earlier point about the opportunities missed, because he's right. Even 6 weeks ago, you could see how we could survive. After he talked about a doubleheader where we Maidenhead and Barrow, and you feel like, well, okay, we'll string together a few results, but it just hasn't happened, and it's another opportunity missed, and it's happened all season long with those that I think he's right, those three games, Dagenham, Sutton and Maidstone, just killed any momentum, any team spirit ours had managed to generate. And he's right, exactly at the time where, for all Nicholson's failings as a manager, and I think he'll admit he made some errors, Nicholson was a great one for team spirit, and having everyone singing from the same hymn sheet, and that's something ours hasn't managed to do, thanks in part to some pretty bad runs of form we've had on the road with him.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things to acknowledge here. With Nicholson's siege mentality, Ben's absolutely right. He did do that.
The one advantage—it's them against us, isn't it? And that's what he did.
The one advantage that Kevin Nicholson had is that he's Kevin Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when he did come in, very right at the beginning, the club was at a real low point. So when your former left back, who was a fan favourite, who's achieved so much at the club over the years, comes in and is the one that is going to save the club, it's very easy to create that siege mentality.
And it's easy to get the fans on side as well, isn't it?
It is.
I was like, oh yeah, we'll back Nicholson here.
So he was all... I think that's worth pointing out, that ours doesn't have that. He was never connected to this club.
Mm.
So he was always going to struggle to replicate what Nicholson done. And I think what another
Through no fault of his own, it has to be said.
Nicholson had clear advantages just through his career
history,
as a player.
Yeah.
What I think the bigger picture of Ben's point is... The real lack of consistency through the squad all season. It's not just those games he's pointed out, but there's been a couple of times where we've maybe won a couple of back-to-back games, or we've won
a couple of games. Yeah, picked up results you wouldn't think we would, yeah.
And then you just can't build on it. And I think it links back to the point you made earlier, where it's just a lack of quality that's running through the squad. We're coming up against better squads, and as much as we don't want to admit it, the Fylds and all the teams that he's mentioned, they're just better and they are overtaking us.
But part of that does go down to Nicholson's recruitment, doesn't it? And I know that Ben had a follow-up comment on the Facebook. On the Facebook, I sound like an old man. Ben had a follow-up comment on Facebook, and he said that if Nicholson had been given the same budget and allowances that ours had been given, that we'd be pushing playoffs. I think it's tough to make that case for Nicholson, but there is always an element when you push a manager after four games into a season. There's always an element of the fans wondering what if, particularly when the next appointment hasn't gone to plan. What if Nicholson had been given this budget? What if Nicholson had had the time to implement whatever he was planning over the summer? And you only ask those questions when it's gone as badly as it's gone. If ours had hit the ground running and performed as I'm sure everyone would have wanted him to. We wouldn't be talking about Nicholson on this podcast. We wouldn't be. It's a sad state of affairs for someone who was a fan favourite for a long time. But if the appointment had gone well, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Problem is, we don't know what would have happened. If Nicholson had gone even six or seven games into the season, we might say, oh, okay, well, it wasn't working out.
Well, yeah, we picked up 4 points and it looks poor or something. But that, at least then you can justify the decision from whoever made the decision, be that Harrop or Osborne or anyone else up there. But it's tough to justify after four games of the season well, we'd picked up some points. We hadn't. It's not as if he Frank de Boer'd the start of the season like at Crystal Palace. We'd picked up some points, and so it's pretty tough to justify. I know there's one last comment from Andy Charles who well, you can read into that one.
Yeah, so this one, Andy goes a little bit deeper, and he starts by saying, "This day has been coming for more than 2 years. The previous two escapes have just prolonged the agony of thinking one day things might turn around. They won't. Next season will be just as painful if the clowns in charge and the clowns on the pitch stay. I just hope that every single one of them who is on a deal past the end of the season has a relegation clause. They can all go." Very passionate response.
Yeah, quite strong stuff there from Andy. I mean, it's talky fans care, and I think you can see that in his comment. But I do think it's an interesting point about we've been in relegation dogfights for the last three seasons now. So
there's only so many times you can flirt with the trapdoor.
You can't get away with it that long. And yeah, well, he's got a point in it. It's something's just. I think he's kind of alluding to a point that something's a little bit off behind the scenes. I mean, I think a lot of fans are talking about that, and it's like replicating Sunderland in the Premier League. You know, for all those years they were in the relegation dogfight and they'd said somehow escape, and we did that with Nicholson twice, but eventually luck doesn't go with you, and you don't get that 3 points on the road that you got that saved you the last time. And that's what's done for us. I do think there's an element of truth in what Andy said there.
There's a bit of mentality around the club that is almost defeatist, if that's the right word, over the last sort of 4 or 5 years. And
I think but there is a level of realism that a lot of fans have accepted. We don't have the budget to be the promotion chasing Buckle side that we were in the National League.
I think it's all well and good the fans accepting that, but it's whether people behind the scenes accept that. And I don't think they have anywhere as quick as the fans have. I still think...
What, you think that's why Nicholson was pushed? Because it didn't look like he was putting together a playoff team?
All we heard from Nicholson over the summer was that we should be looking top half playoff places. And yeah. I think there's an expectation because of the club's history and because when it did drop into the conference and... We were one of the big fish. I know it's a word we've used in recent weeks, but going back a few years, we were, and we're just not that anymore. We're being surpassed by these smaller clubs that are coming up through the leagues.
Is it defeatist though, or is it realism?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It is the honest answer. I think there needs to be a level of acceptance of where we are. Clearly, we're going down. We're one of the worst performing teams in the National League.
The league table doesn't lie. It's an old trope, but it's one I agree with. The league table does not lie. And although I happen to think that the quality in the National League hasn't been that good this season, that's something I genuinely believe. I don't think there are many excellent...
It hasn't.
I don't think there are many excellent teams in the league. But despite that, we're one of the worst ones. That's what the table says. And at this point of the season, it does not lie. And you're gonna agree with that?
I think you rounded it. You rounded it up as it is. I think you can't. I agree with you. I don't think the league's been as strong this year. Both halves. It's just you can't argue with the position we're in. We've put ourselves in this position. Yeah. We've shot ourselves in the foot time and time again.
No. Okay. I think we've covered that. God, this is a depressing podcast.
Thank you if you've stayed on this long.
Yeah. Well done. So it almost seems like wasted time to do a match preview at this point in the season, but here we are. Torquay United welcome Halifax this weekend in a game that could, we think, we're not too sure, someone smarter than us can work it out, officially confirm our relegation. Halifax sit 14th in the table, seemingly nothing to play for. Interestingly, Jamie Fullerton is the man in charge, appointed in February with Halifax 2 points above the drop zone, and he seems to have steered them to safety.
Yeah, they look pretty safe now for the rest of the season, and there's no point asking for a prediction. We've got to win. That's all we can say.
Well, that's what you want to happen, but that's not your prediction, is it?
No, but we can't afford for anything else. I believe we can officially go down on Saturday, depending on other results, right? Sort of Woking and Solihull and the like. So it's going to be one of those afternoons where it's eyes on phones and eyes on Playmore as well. it's going to be a nervous one. I don't know.
I don't think that's the case with Torquay fans. I don't think it's a nervous one. Everyone's resigned to the situation.
Yeah, I think there is a bit of that, but it's going to be one of those sort of nervous atmospheres where it's probably not going to be that nice to be in. Mm. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out at Playmore. You just got to go for it and hope for the best that other teams can do you a favour in and around you.
See, you're talking like safety. That's not going to happen.
It's one extreme or another, really, isn't it? We go down or there's nothing more to play for.
The question I ask you, we always talk about the team sheet, and I'm not going to talk about that as much today. Remains still out. I think Healy's back, should be back from suspension. But the question I'm going to ask is there an argument now that we are essentially down that he should only play players that he thinks he might keep on next season? Is there an argument for that? Or yep. Should he still just try and put his best team out available?
I think out of respect for the fans, I think he'll go with a strong team.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised to see...
I don't mean fielding a weakened team. It's tough to say.
There might be some changes. Maybe not this week, but next.
Yeah, yeah. It's just about... what I'm saying is that maybe the lone players that we can't expect to keep on for next season, is there an element of maybe ushering them out of the team a touch so he can take a look at the people he might consider keeping on for next season?
Yeah, I think we'll see some of that. Like I say, I don't know, maybe not this week.
Yeah.
Once it's all confirmed, maybe, and the writing is definitely on the wall. But I think he's got to name a strong team. Regardless.
Yeah, otherwise he will come in with some flack, won't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, no, I agree with that. So let's have your prediction then.
I don't know.
See, Ryan's given up. We are on, what, episode something of Talking Talkie, and Ryan's given up, everyone. I think that is a good enough note to end on. Ryan, let's have a goodbye from you.
Goodbye.
And let's have a goodbye from me. Goodbye.